Hello, it's Friday, March 31st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Now, if you've noticed, this is Friday, and we usually do a television version of our show on Friday, but the action on our site is becoming so immense that we had to move this also to a radio version on Friday. So on Monday, that's going to be the only day now that we do the TV version. We're always going to have that be a Monday television version. And plus, we always send our mass email out on Friday, and it gets even more people coming to the site. So if you want to be on the newsletter, just drop us a line. But we just want to let everyone know, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in, because it's you out there that's just making this site and bringing the truth out on such a large scale.
Exactly. While I'm very, very happy that so many people are hitting on the site, I'm kind of bummed out because I don't get to do my Friday photo gallery anymore. And
I think what we're going to try to
I'm not letting Victor take away the Monday one. I don't care what it takes.
Well, I think what we're going to do is make a special link on there so that we can put additional photo galleries up. So we'll figure a way out. I got to talk to our webmaster and see what we can do, but we'll keep that in there. Now, we also got a lot of other good news. First of all, on Wednesday, I was just starting to mention that we had good news about our book, The New World Order Exposed. This is right before the Eric Hufschmidt interview. And basically what happened is this has been added now to a special collection in the Library of Congress's historical record. And we discovered this when we got a letter from a woman in the United States Copyright Office in the Acquisitions Division, and she said that she was actually informed by someone, or contacted by someone, a congressional staff member, who said that this book should be added to the historical record. So
right, I'm just amazed, and I really congratulate you, Victor. That's such an honor to have your collection, to have your book added to this special collection in the National Archives. So
we asked who it was. We wanted to know which congressional member, but she said she didn't have, or she couldn't disclose that information.
So now some real history and some real information will be added to the other books in the Library of Congress.
Yeah, and if you haven't read this book, take a look at it. It's something that really gives an opposing or alternative viewpoint to the history, quote-unquote history, that we've been brought up with in our schools and our history classes and so forth. So quite a different look than what they've provided. And also, last but not least in the good news department, is tonight we're going to appear on WWOR Radio in New York City. Lisa, fill everybody else in on some of these details.
We are going to be on the Lionel Show. I believe it's at 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to be on for 3 hours till 1 a.m. Eastern Time. You can find that website. You can listen to the show on the net, or there are many affiliates. It's an AM station, mainstream AM station. You can go Google the Lionel Show, or you can type in WOR710.com/Lionel.shtml, or you can go to www.lionelonline.com. The top three links on Google are for that show. So there's plenty of ways to listen to it, and we hope that you'll tune in. We're also going to be on there tomorrow. His show starts at 5 p.m., so I'm assuming that we're going to be on around that time. Just keep posted and listen to the Lionel Show tonight and tomorrow.
And also, you can go to the Wing TV homepage and click directly onto those links so you can listen to it live. And if any of you don't know who Lionel is, we've been aware of him for years. And Talkers Magazine has a list. It's called their Heavy 100. And of the 4,200 radio talk show hosts in this country, they list the top 100. This is by how many people listen to them and so forth. And he's listed among those top 100. So this is a major league mainstream radio show.
Right.
And we're going to talk about 9/11.
You took it right out of my mouth, Victor. Three guests is what we're going to talk about.
I know we're very, very much looking forward to it.
Yes.
So if you're in the
Lionel very much.
Yeah, if you're in the New York area, you can tune in directly. If not, listen via internet. I know Vinny Sammartino had a hand in making this happen also, because he was emailing back and forth with Lionel and kind of laid the foundation.
I think Lionel said he's going to put this up in an archive, too. He's really psyched about this show, and so are we, and we're just looking very much forward to it.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about this new ruling out in Oklahoma City, but before we do so, we got an email yesterday. We continue to keep getting emails about this whole Eric Huffschmidt, Daryl Smith broadcast on Wednesday. And this was actually from a man named Jim Paulson, who's a jailer-in-chief in Minnesota. And Lisa, read what he had. This is it's kind of a long email, but I think it's important enough that everybody hear what this individual said about the murder of Michael
Zabor. Yeah, he's with Jail for Judges. Jim Paulson had this to say. Dear Victor and Lisa, I am beside myself with frustration and anger over the reporting that Eric Huffschmidt did about the unfortunate and despicable criminal act that cost Michael Zabor his life in Minneapolis. I have no more facts than anyone else, really, but I am a concerned person. You see, I live just a mile from the scene of the murder, which just so happens to be a fairly influential, artsy neighborhood. Just so you know, it wasn't in a gang zone or ghetto. The people are rightfully upset and scared in a neighborhood that very rarely needs a police car to show up. Who knows what the real truth is, but the facts and accounts so far indicate a random thug robbery in a nice neighborhood. Zabor's mother, who was an eyewitness, has said that they were approached by two black men who, according to their speech, she thought may have been Somalian, who robbed them at gunpoint. After they had given all of their money, credit cards, etc. over to the thieves, they shot Michael in the head and ran off. She faithfully held Michael's bleeding head in her lap until paramedics showed up. How tragic. How ruthless, because they didn't resist or put up a fight. How terrible to be on a vacation visiting family members and die in the process, while some of them witnessed the senseless act. As for Huffschmidt, I'm about to burn the books and tapes of his that I own. Whatever his problem, this is a glaring example of wild, irresponsible reporting, in my opinion. How dare he make a mockery of the work of Professor Jim Fetzer and others and attempt to implicate them in the tragic murder of Michael Zabor? My heart goes out to Michael's mother and family. Maybe someday a different truth will emerge. Maybe Eric and his crew know something I don't. But while I'm not a journalist, I would hope that one who claims to be would wait until facts and truth were uncovered and at least a practically verifiable story is unveiled before bouncing off the wall with wild, unfounded claims. We agree.
And very well written. We thank Jim very much for sending that to us. And, you know, after reading that, I was talking to Lisa this morning, and I said, you know, in some circles of the mainstream media, they're actually doing more right now to promote 9/11 truth than actually some circles in the alternative media.
I know. How ironic is that?
I mean, this is, it's mind-boggling, uh-huh. And a perfect example of this is an article that was published yesterday by Mike Rupert. I'm sure everybody remembers Mr. Mike Rupert. And the title of this was, Hey Charlie Sheen, Wake Up. And in the course of this article, Mike Rupert was as snotty, as defeatist, as counterproductive as anyone I've ever seen. And this movement, he basically said to it, well, 9/11 is nothing but closed doors, and just don't waste your time with it. What we should be focusing on right now is peak oil and blah, blah, blah.
Well, the stuff that he says about, it's like he's jealous.
Yeah.
That he and some of the other original people, you know, early people talking about 9/11 haven't been getting this glory and this exposure. And he comes off sounding very bitter and resentful and just mean-spirited.
Yeah, and right now, when 9/11 truth is closer to making a massive breakthrough than it's ever, ever been before.
Why isn't Rupert ecstatic about that?
Yeah, why wouldn't he come out and say, hooray, let's push this forward? Instead, he's saying, oh, well, this is nothing but closed doors.
And I mean, we've expressed to you that we have concerns about what might be the motivation behind CNN allowing this information
right.
to be brought out that way. But you know what? We're glad that it was talked about
on
mainstream media.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, what we're telling everyone is you have to be on your toes and we can't be naive about things.
Right.
But the just totally negative tone of Rupert's article makes you scratch your head, especially when you realize that on September 12th, 2001, Rupert was the first person to come out in an article and say, oh, no, there was no controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers. If you think that's the truth, then you're crazy. You're looking in the wrong direction. This is where you should be focusing your attention. And he would veer him off on these people like Mike Vreeland
uh-huh.
and these wild goose chases. And you know, Lisa, even though we took down all of our exposés, I'm half tempted to put up those articles about Rupert again so everybody can take a look at what this guy's all about, because yet again, here he is trying to prevent 9/11 truth.
Do you know what? I think you should.
I do too. And, you know, here's also, when you look at the mainstream media versus alternative media, here's Lionel giving us 3 hours tonight. And look at all of the articles that have been written in mainstream publications. Now, some of them have a tone of, you know, conspiracy theory and so forth, but they're at least talking about controlled demolition and so forth. But look what we have going on in the alternative media. We have 3 or 4 people that are incessant about talking about blue screens and all this hoax nonsense. We have hatred on these message boards, where whenever anybody tries to talk about activism and getting people organized,
right.
they veer them off and start attacks and so forth and
diversion
do anything.
And distraction.
Yeah, to do anything to keep people away from being organized. Then you have Rupert. Then you have people like Daryl Smith writing these, or having Huffschmidt write these awful articles about the professors and say they were involved in a murder. And you know what this is?
When they don't even know what they're talking
yeah.
about.
The alternative media, the people that should be championing 9/11 truth and activism, they're more counterproductive than anybody right now. And
let me say something else, too. Victor and I are told a lot of things about a lot of people. We're told a lot of rumor, and people gossip a lot to us about various individuals. We know a lot of things about a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
However, we can't verify a lot of this stuff. So we don't come out on our show
That's right.
and tell everyone else in the world, because if we can't verify something for truthfulness, we're not going to announce it publicly in any venue, whether in an article or on our show. That's the difference, and that's what Huffschmidt and Smith are
right.
doing. Because without questioning anyone at all, in any way, they aired their public commentary and their little gossiping amongst themselves on a public venue and cited it. Well, it was an implication of conspiracy to murder. And if you think that that's lightweight, especially for people who consider themselves alternative media journalists,
yeah.
then you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, and if you compare the exposés that we did to some of this other garbage that we see out there, and as Lisa said, we do hear a lot of stuff, and it would make your ears burn, some of the things we hear, but we don't repeat it.
Right, and don't think we're not itching to tell you
yeah.
all this stuff, too,
we
but
just
we're
can't
not
verify
going
it.
To until we can make it solid and back it up.
Right, so anyway, that's why we were so proud of everybody listening to this show for the last week. When we did this broadcast on Wednesday with Eric Huffschmidt, and we got email after email of people outraged at this type of behavior. And as we said yesterday, it's up to you right now, the everyday Americans that are listening to this show, that if you see something that is glaringly in the wrong, you better call those people on it. I know a lot of people send emails to Daryl Smith. And right now, go on Mike Rupert's site, fromthewilderness.com, hit the contact button, and send him an email and says, Rupert, you're scum for putting this kind of nonsense out there. You should be back there giving everybody who's done this work for the last 4.5 years a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And, but what he's doing instead is spitting on the whole 9/11 movement.
Well, don't you remember it was Rupert who said we should move on? Remember
yeah.
he posted that picture of an elephant, an elephant's ass with the 9/11 stamped on the elephant's butt, okay? In other words, 9/11's over, we should move on.
Yeah.
Well, then what is he emerging back into the picture for? Yeah. He doesn't want to deal with this whole 9/11 issue anymore. Hey, Rupert,
then just keep him your mouth shut.
We don't need you.
Yeah. The only time, this is the first time in a year that his head has emerged about 9/11, and it's all negativity. Nothing
it's
but
all,
that.
It's all jealousy and resentment and bitterness.
And so he's telling all the people on his site, you know, don't focus on this stuff. And all the strides that they've made, you know, look at something else. Look
What's
at
the
this
matter,
bogus.
Rupert? Don't you want the truth about 9/11 to come out into the mainstream public arena? Do
exactly.
you or don't you?
Yeah. Now, a couple other things real quick before we touch upon what happened out in Oklahoma City. The Minutemen are going to reform again starting tomorrow. They're going down into the four border states that that touch Mexico and also some of the northern states.
Excellent.
So, you know, we have our good friend Rick Villaseda.
Is he going to?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard from him, but I know that tomorrow's the official day when they relaunch again, and we give them a standing ovation also.
We're proud of the Minutemen.
Right. A couple of days ago, Andrew Card resigned as chief of staff. He was replaced by another one of these neocons, Joshua Bolton. And anyone that watches Wing TV or listens to Wing Radio got a touch of this a few days before that happened. Remember that article
That's
about
right.
the wars at Camp David between Karl Rove and Andrew Card?
Right.
And he said, something's going to break here. Well, it did, and we saw who won, didn't we?
The Project for a New American Century neocons suggested Josh Bolton as
yeah.
Andrew Card's well, actually, they didn't suggest it. They're pretty much telling Bush. This is who is should replace Andrew Card, and guess who did replace him?
Yeah, and so that's what, you know, people say, well, what's it really matter, the kind of information that's coming out in these alternative sites? Well, we're the ones that are giving you this pre-information beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and as you could see in a couple of days, what we relayed actually happened. The battle between Rove and Card, and Karl Rove won. And last but not least, we were watching the news the other day when we were eating supper, and they were talking about this illegal immigration debacle, and somebody mentioned, well, the idea of building a wall. Remember when this woman came on and she says, oh, well, we're completely against the idea of building walls between countries, between the United States and Mexico. And I thought, well, isn't another wall being built somewhere else in the world? I think, like, surrounding Israel.
Yeah. How come they're not opposed to that wall?
Yeah. Mysteriously, nobody seems to be talking
yeah.
about this wall around Israel. But you mention it to keep out illegal immigrants from the United States, and oh, my God, it's bloody murder then.
Yeah. Well, we're fully in agreement that a wall should be built. If that's what it's going to take
exactly.
to curb the illegal immigration invasion, if we have to go to those lengths to stop this massive invasion of our country, then maybe that's what needs to be done.
Yeah,
and they're only talking about 700 miles. They're not talking
yeah.
completely, you know, the whole length of the
right.
of the border.
Right. So anyway, it's funny to see those little ironies in life where
yeah.
certain groups are opposed to one wall
right.
yet fail to mention other walls. Now, here's
double
really,
standard again.
Yeah, that's what it is, a double standard. Now, here's really the big story of the day. On March 29th, 2 days ago, U.S. District Judge Dale Kimball
mm-hmm.
made a ruling.
Right.
And the information that came out, Lisa, is so earth-shattering in regard to the OKC bombing that there's a possibility this could break in a big way.
Yeah, I guess it's the first time that a federal judge or any judge has found that more than two people were involved in
mm-hmm.
the Oklahoma City bombing and that our intelligence agencies had an informant planted
yep.
with McVeigh supporting him.
Yeah.
Well, yeehaw.
Yeah. Well, listen to some of the highlights. First of all, the judge said that the government had an informant inside the bombing conspiracy. Think about that. That the government had somebody on the inside that knew that the Alfred P. Murrah building was going to be demolished
right.
or targeted,
right. so
yet
the
did
in other
nothing.
Words, the FBI knew ahead of time that this was planned.
Right. Also, there's a man named Kenneth Trenadue who supposedly killed himself after being arrested. He was in a suicide-proof cell. And his brother...
How can you be in a suicide-proof cell and suicide yourself?
Right. Well, his brother, a man named Jesse Trenadue, who's a civil attorney, has been hammering the government for years now that it's saying there's something fishy about this. And what happened was that Kenneth Trenadu was actually beaten and tortured and murdered while in prison because the FBI thought that he was linked to this group of bank robbers that was associated with Elohim City and also Timothy McVeigh.
And I guess the judge had access to unredacted copies of documents. And so, you know, the ones we're never allowed to see, the ones without the black magic marker all over them.
Yeah. Well, the reason he was initially arrested was that it was a case of mistaken identity, and they thought that he was a man named Richard Lee Guthrie, who was part of the Midwest bank robbery gang. Well, Kenneth Trenadu was, quote-unquote, suicided in jail. That means he was murdered. But then, this guy, Richard Lee Guthrie, was eventually arrested. And guess what happened to him, Lisa, while he was in jail in federal custody?
What? He suicided himself?
He committed suicide, too.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Go figure, huh? So this man, Jesse Trenadu, the civil attorney, yeah, he's the one really pushing this stuff. And we couldn't give him more credit for what he's doing. Also, now they're confirming, and this is something we've been saying for years now. And if you go to the Wing TV homepage, go to the top, you'll see a link that says Oklahoma City or OKC bombing. Click on that link, and you'll see the entire text of my chapbook about Oklahoma City. Michael Collins Piper said this is the best summary ever compiled about what really happened at OKC.
And we can only hope, too, that it leads to the investigation of the strange death of police officer Terrence Yeagy, who also basically was murdered.
He was murdered.
Well, they're not calling it that. Although the OKC police officers we spoke to when we were there definitely knew that he was murdered.
Yeah, they were giving us the thumbs up and say, do what you have to do. But anyway, the judge now is confirming that Timothy McVeigh had links to Elohim City and that there were informants working inside Elohim City for the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
That's Big Bad Morris D. And we also bring that connection out in this chapel.
Read that sentence about Southern Poverty Law Center in Israel.
I don't see it right here. But that's in the chapbook. I didn't see it in this article. But anyway, then we go to FBI Director Louis Free. And there was a select group of FBI offices that contained information that it seems to link Andrea Strassmeyer, who is one of the on-site implementers of the bombing itself, linking Strassmeyer to Timothy McVeigh.
Now
another point we bring up.
Now you're getting warmer.
Yeah. And then they allowed Strassmeyer to flee the country after the bombing.
And no one ever questioned the guy.
Yeah. Even though the FBI knew where his residence was in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and they knew that he was having help from an attorney named Kirk Lyons and a former CIA pilot named Dave Holloway. So all this information now is coming out. This is confirming everything we wrote in that chapbook.
Considering how there exists the potential, hopefully, for this to lead all the way back to who was sitting in the White House at the time that the Murrah building was bombed.
Right.
I wonder how this is going to impact Hillary Clinton's run for the White House.
Yeah,
and it is going to be some interesting times.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I would like to link to Hillary, like MENA, Arkansas, and all of these other embezzlement scandals and murders. Vince Foster, Ron Brown.
Yeah.
But the judge finally says that there was an undercover operative in with Timothy McVeigh and members of the various militia groups who aided and supported McVeigh. We can't urge you enough to read this chapbook about McVeigh. It's free. It's online.
Are you going to publish the ruling?
Yeah, we're also going to have this article posted on the Wing TV homepage so everybody can read it. And the fingers keep pointing to Elohim City. That's the key to everything with this thing. And
we just want to say, OKC also was an inside job.
Exactly. And It's also good that Morris Dees and the Southern Poverty Law Center are finally now getting the finger pointed at them, because they were working hand in hand with various intel operations that were on the inside.
Well, let's see how long it takes before efforts are made to squash this.
Yeah. So last but not least, then, we got an email from someone on the inside, Chris Emery, and he repeated, he said, this is the first instance ever that a federal judge, or any judge for that matter, found that people other than Terry Nichols, Timothy McVeigh, and also Michael Fortier were involved, and the FBI has always denied this. Now the truth is coming out. We have the truth
coming out.
You're
not telling me the FBI lied, are you?
Yeah. Now, when you realize that the FBI lied about this,
mm-hmm.
could we stretch this a little bit, maybe to 9/11, and think, well, maybe people were lying about 9/11 too, huh?
Yeah, I'd say that it's not much of a stretch.
Yeah, so...
we also want to remind everybody that today is the one-year anniversary of the death of Terry Schindler Schiavo. She was murdered in front of the eyes of the world last year, starved and dehydrated to death, and we failed to stop that murder.
Yeah.
And so we all bear some burden of responsibility for what happened to this disabled woman who simply could not feed herself. And Michael Schiavo... We hope that...
You burn in hell.
We know that someday you're going to be forced to confront what you've done. And we just hope we live to see the day that happens.
Yeah, and I urge everybody out there, go to the Wing TV homepage, read Lisa's letter to Michael Schiavo. And I know, knowing Lisa, that if she had her druthers, instead of this being a letter, she would like to say these same words to him about... 2 inches from his face, nose to nose, laying it right on him. But since that's not going to happen, at least any time in the near future, read these words. They're very strong. They're powerful. And I remember...
Of course, if Michael Schiavo wants to come on Wing TV, yeah. I'd be happy to tell him personally.
Yeah. And I remember when this whole ordeal was going on, and we couldn't talk about it that much last year because we were right in the middle of doing our televised version of 9/11 on trial. So the only way we were really able to relate it was at the end of each one of these episodes where Lisa would put these pictures in the photo gallery. And that was kind of our way of saying, even though we're in the middle of this trial, we're paying very close attention to what's going on down there. I know Patriot Jim Kujawa was just wrecked. He was eaten up about it.
Yeah, I was torn up and I was just shredded for. I mean, just to even watch my own photo gallery on Terry Schiavo and what was going on with her. And, you know, it's just a disgrace that all of us sat and watched this woman be murdered. And we did nothing.
And what that was is it's a slippery slope. In that they said, well, if we're able to get away with this now we can push the envelope even a little further.
And people will say, well, I called this one, and I stood out there with a sign. And yes, I did those things, too. I called and called different places and tried to get something done about it. But we didn't stop it. We didn't act and stop it. And there were some people who got arrested trying to give her water. And
you
I just hope
really
that every time Michael Schiavo takes a sip of water or eats a bite of anything, he's thinking of her. I hope that she's whispering in his ear every single night, and I can't imagine what woman would want to be standing next to Michael Schiavo and calling herself his wife or his girlfriend or anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the potential? God forbid something should happen to this woman that he's with. Is she going to end up the same way as Terry Schiavo? And I guess he didn't have any problem pulling the plug on his own parents. So
yeah, and you know what really should have happened last year was somehow that building should have been stormed and her body removed and given to people that would have gone to any lengths.
Her body? She was still alive.
They should have removed her
and
given her to the parents or anybody else who would have went to any lengths to keep her alive.
I mean, this is the thing. We're so fearful of our government and the possibility of getting shot because those police there had some firepower and were willing to shoot people who tried to enter the building. But you see, no one will stand up to this government in a way that shows them we mean business.
Or even Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
All he would have had to do was sign one executive order
Between the death
and
watch,
she could have been removed.
How the media picked up the story and sensationalized it, how the politicians used it to grandstand.
Exactly.
You know, and the whole thing was just a psyop, another psyop where they traumatized Americans again.
And the one that suffered the most was Terri Schiavo.
And her family.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
It's 1 year ago today that this just unbelievable murder took place.
And we must not forget Terri Schiavo.
Right. So read Lisa's article about it.
And there.
You know, I know these are genuine, true feelings. So anyway, folks, tonight, tune in to the Lionel Show. It's 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 10 o'clock till 1 in the morning.
Right. You can Google the Lionel Show, and the top three links on Google will bring you to sites that you can watch the show, I mean, listen to his show from.
Or go to the Wing TV homepage.
Right.
You'll see the links on there also. So we thank all of you for tuning in. And, you know, we're proud of you. We're proud of all of you out there that are standing up, that have a voice, because you're the ones that are going to save this country.
That's right. You know what? We are winning the war between right and wrong.
We have hope. We have more hope now than we've had in a long, long time. So all of you out there, keep up the good work until Monday. Keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then. Have a great weekend.